as I wait.
Heart of God. Growth Group Podcast, where we believe that spiritual growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. My name is David Haken, and I'm joined by Jonathan Markham, the pastor of New Life Christian Fellowship here in Pacifica, California, and we record these podcasts to help you get the most out of your small group discussions each week. This week, we turn the corner in our series in Ephesians, No Oars, Only Sails. We are over halfway through this series. We are in chapter 4 of 6 chapters in the book of Ephesians. Last week, we had a fun time with All You Need Is Love, chapter 3. Now we're in chapter 4, a wonderful chapter with a sermon that you've entitled Equal But Different, or was it Equally Different?
Equally Different.
Okay, now that confuses me because in my mind, equally different means that two objects which are the same distance apart and another two objects which are the exact same, those are equally different, those two things. Like we are equally different from one another is like we're the same distance apart or
you're
something.
Probably right.
Equal but different.
I like
it. Has a nice ring to it.
Yeah,
if you don't think about it too much.
Yeah, I think that's about it, David.
Okay.
I think it had a nice ring to it, and equal but different just sounded a little sort of blah. So equally different.
Yeah.
Just I wasn't expecting an etymological analysis.
My bad.
Fine.
Okay. Great.
But this is a phenomenal chapter. I mean, as I think I said at the end of last week's podcast, you know, you could preach 6 sermons just on this chapter.
While you have the chapter open in front of you here on your lap, do you want to pick out one or two favorite verses, maybe? Perhaps that would make your top 5 so as not to give you too much pressure to find your absolute favorite.
Right. I mean, I love this thing at the beginning where it says, I beg you to live a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble, gentle, be patient with one another, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talked about love last week, and you know, we're going to talk about gifts, and so we're going to talk about the fact that that God has enabled us to do stuff. I mean, we saw it earlier in the, and you know, he has prepared for us since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
He builds that foundation of character that being
right.
Completely
so he places
humble and
those good works in our lives for us to do, and he also gives us the ability to do them.
Right,
which is
really encouraging. And I like, instead we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church.
Mm-hmm.
Speak
the truth in love. That's a really important
corrector
for those who would just hammer down people with the truth. Speak the truth in love. Yeah, that's in 1 John as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into the question. So question 1, I suppose, deals with this whole concept of unity before we get into the diversity of different people's gifts.
Mm.
And it's question name, which we get from one of the verses in this section. The name of this question is The Unity of the Spirit in the Bond of Peace. And it reads, why do you think Paul precedes a discussion on gifts in 7 through 11 with a call to unity in 1 through 6? What is our tendency as humans when comparing our gifts within others? How would God have us act instead?
Well, I think this is interesting. Because it says, make every when that verse goes on to say, binding yourselves together, make every effort to keep your unity of in the yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, and it shows something that we've been talking about earlier, because this unity, Paul starts talking about it. We are unified with Christ. We are united together. It's the fact that God is talking about us as individuals following Jesus, but following it as in community and making a contribution to one another. So the tendency that we all have, particularly in Western culture today, is to be independent. He's saying, okay, I'm going to tell you the gifts that you have, but I'm giving you them because I want you to be unified, because all of those things are needed. The church, in order to fill everything everywhere, needs everybody doing everything I've gifted them to do.
Yeah, and there's that wonderful description of gifts. Is it in 1 Corinthians 12, maybe, where it's talking about, like, the eye shouldn't complain that it's not a hand or whatnot. That's very pertinent to this discussion, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We need to make sure we include that in this question. Our second question addresses church offices, five ones specifically, that Paul decides to lay out in verse 11. Can you read verse 11 for us before we get into the question?
I can. Now, these are the gifts the church gave to the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers.
All right, we're going to find out in our next question why God gave those offices to the church. But this question addresses each of those offices. And this is how we put this question together. God gifted apostles with ability to extend and expand, evangelists with skills to recruit, shepherds with an eye to nurture and care for, teachers with talent to explain and organize, and prophets with inclinations to question and critique. What role or roles share personality traits which God has hardwired into you? How many of these, or how may these traits be used to serve the church and this world?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to say this straight off the bat. Verse 11 is one of those verses that has caused controversy in the church for years. Are these gifts only for special people in the church? Did apostles and prophets cease with the early church? All of them. Yeah. And there's a whole range of different theological ideas. And we're not going to resolve those. And we're not going to attempt to resolve them. And
that's not the purpose of this.
Right. We're not going to attack them. We're not going to approach them. We're not going to criticize them. What we have done is we've said, look, these people with these gifts had these characteristics, these spheres of influence, these ways of influencing people. And all of these ways of influencing people are crucial for the life of the church. So let's look at it that way. We agree that everybody is necessary. That Scripture tells, Paul tells us that in so many different ways, that God has gifted people, and verse 7 tells us that everybody, he's given each of us a special gift. And I don't actually think necessarily he's only given us one. There may be one, maybe two, maybe pieces of each.
Right.
It's flexible, but all of these characteristics, they're not only necessary for a church, they're necessary for any organization. Every organization needs people with these characteristics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
the apostolic gifting set.
Yeah. And if you want to call somebody an apostle, that's not necessary.
And even that's an interesting question, because, right. I mean, you think Jesus had 12 disciples and he called them 12 apostles, and yet Barnabas is called an apostle later. And so, yeah, it's not a simple question to answer.
It's not a simple question. And some of it is not a question that's really... Sometimes I think, you know, I think it's in a letter to Timothy, isn't it, when he talks about saying, don't get worried about these...
Super apostles, maybe?
These nitpicking little theological
conversations. He says that a couple times in that letter.
And mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's a bit like that, you know, but I think that we see these characteristics in one another, and we need to call them out of one another.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I see in you conversation.
Yeah.
Question 3, gifted to build. Kind of makes me think of Nehemiah, actually, that question. Mm-hmm. Anyways, gifted to build. Read Ephesians 4:12, and Jonathan will do that for you in a minute. Why does God give spiritual gifts to people? How many times does 1 Corinthians 14, a chapter devoted to spiritual gifts, use the word build up? What does it mean for you to direct your gifting toward the building up of others and the church God has placed you in?
Yeah, verse 12 says, their responsibility, that's these people who we talked before, the apostles, mm-hmm, prophets, mm-hmm, evangelists, mm-hmm, pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So yeah, these characteristics are there to build up the church. And I think the building of the church is a sort of an enormous mutuality, that I use my gifts to build you up, and you use your gifts to build me up, mm-hmm, so that together we build ourselves, which is the church.
Right, because there are things that you can do very well that I can't do at all.
And vice versa.
Right.
And that's how it... And that gives us two things. It gives us an understanding of the humility to say, well, I can't do that anything like as well as you, Dan David, so do it, rather than me struggling to do it. And it also gives us the recognition that God sent us together in order to achieve filling everything everywhere with
right,
himself.
Right, right, right. It beautifully displays the interdependence of right. people inside of the church. And even in like 1 Corinthians 12, when it's talking about the eye and the hand and the foot right. and all these things, and it's talking about those parts of the body which are, I don't know how he describes them as being shameful or whatnot,
right.
but we give extra attention to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you think maybe about someone in the church who... I don't know, maybe has a very strong learning disability or something. Mm-hmm. But what we do is we come around this person with like a special shepherding and nurturing care for them to honor them even greater.
And
you
people
know?
Who do things that very few people notice. I mean, here at New Life, you know, we've just lost a person in David Day who
lost to moving north, yeah.
To moving to Sacramento, mm-hmm. who did... We work so hard behind the scenes, but I, for one, am noticing that he's not there. And we miss Harley, who is always willing to do anything and currently can't come to church because of the shift he works. I'm noticing he's not here.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of these gifts are so important. Doesn't matter whether they're obvious.
Right.
Or they're less obvious.
Behind the scenes or on the front stage, yeah. All those little gears that make the machine run so well.
And suddenly when they're not there, you suddenly think, oh, who's going to do that? Who's right. going to do that?
It looks like the hand has to start walking
yep.
because the foot's not there.
Because the foot's mm-hmm. not there.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives us a reminder that, you know, if God has sent all of these people to be part of New Life... If you're not there, if you don't come on a Sunday, for instance, there's a hand missing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So where are we how are we going to do any clapping?
It's going to be pretty tough. We'll have to start beating our shoulders with one hand or something.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move past these funny images of missing hands and whatnot, all the maiming we're doing. On to our fourth question, the purpose of gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty similar to what we just asked, but a little more broad. So, Ephesians 4, verses 12 to 16, give a beautiful description of the reason God gifts spiritual gifts to his children. Read this passage. What stands out to you? In what way have someone else's gifts blessed you recently? And how have you sought to bless others with your gifts?
Yeah, these are beautiful verses. I love this bit 14. They will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching, because God has gifted some people to be teachers.
Right.
And
the teachers put up those guardrails.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to pay attention to them. Not saying, well, you know, I don't need anyone to teach me anything. We all need people to teach us things.
Right.
And we should, and they're the people who help us to keep safe. And in it says there, we will not be influenced by people who try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth.
Right. And you think about shepherds and the role that they have to ward off wolves.
Right. And nurture and care, and then the people, the challengers, the prophets who challenge us to. to get things in line with the mm-hmm. Spirit of God and mm-hmm. all of those things. But you know, they also equip us to go out to do the jobs that people do. You know, they're needed in the way the church impacts the places where the members of the body go out and impact the world.
Mm-hmm. The tech jobs.
The tech the jobs.
Industry.
The doctors. Yeah. The
builders.
The plumbers. The electricians.
Church has a tremendous influence in all those areas.
Right.
Or camp.
Tremendous influence. That's where Jesus is touching everything everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To bring us back to, that first chapter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a great way to finish, I think. So next week we'll be in chapter 5, and we're looking forward to that. But until then, we will bid you adieu. Bye, guys.
As I wait, heart of God, satisfy and sustain.